One of the earliest images in art that we have of our Lord is that of him being the Good Shepherd. We even see this depiction on the walls of the catacombs in Rome. We hear in the scriptures oftentimes how God refers to appointing shepherds for his people. In the Old Testament, for instance, Abel, Abraham, Jacob, David, Amos, the prophet, were all shepherds. God called them to a special leadership. Of course, we have the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." So it's very appropriate then that when our Lord was teaching, he identified himself as the Good Shepherd. In so doing, though, it's more than just that very nice image we have of Jesus holding a little lamb or leading a flock of lambs. It's a very powerful image. At the time of our Lord, shepherds were working, really, what we would say today, 24/7. Each sheep was a precious asset. So sheep were raised for wool or for temple sacrifices in Jerusalem. So everyone was an asset. The shepherd had to provide proper pasture for the sheep, proper food and water, proper shelter. He had to protect them from ravenous animals or thieves that might come. His duty was constant. It wasn't easy keeping these sheep together because, from what I have heard, I've never been around a sheep before, but from what I've heard, they like to just sort of wander around maybe, so go off here or lag behind. Hence, the shepherd had that staff, the hook at the end to drag the sheep in, or the little bottom stick to wacko the sheep on the rear end to make it move. So, either way, we have this image of a very dutiful, diligent shepherd. This is our Lord. And we think of how the sheep then, given that they were so watched over by a shepherd, could distinguish his voice from anyone else. They followed. I would think, too, in their sense of being an animal, they knew this is the shepherd who's going to take care of us. So our Lord brings all of this to fulfillment. Our Lord came as that good shepherd to gather all of us into one flock. As we hear in Acts of the Apostles, it is Jesus who delegated the apostles to go out to all the nations. We hear of how St. Paul's gone now to the Gentiles. So he came not just to gather the Jews, but also the Gentiles, to gather everyone. He founded a fold, a sheepfold, that we call the church. He's nourished us by providing the sacraments. How beautiful it is that today we are nourished by the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. We think of all those other sacraments that provide us that nourishment of grace that we need. He's given us direction, the right path to follow, whether through the words of sacred scripture, God's word, or it's through the consistent teachings of the church. Also, he continues to call us to conversion, that pursuit of holiness. Sometimes that means repentance. Of course, Jesus is not physically here, but he did appoint his apostles as shepherds, and they in turn handed on their authority to bishops, by extension to priests. So the word bishop comes from the Greek episcopus, which means overseer, like a shepherd, or pastor, comes from the Latin, meaning shepherd. And this is why, too, a bishop has, like a shepherd's staff. It shows an authority, but also his duty to care for his flock, to lead them along the right path, to keep them together, to make sure they're being nourished, especially with the sacraments and the preaching of the Holy Gospel. And although our Lord wants to be with us, that's important to remember. We're called to hear his voice. So I've mentioned all these beautiful aspects of our church, but you and I have to open up our hearts to hear his voice, to appreciate what he has given us, and to follow him. That's why daily prayer is so important, why Sunday worship is so important. In a world where there are so many divergent callings from so many shepherds, some of whom are thieves trying to steal our souls, we need to always be in tune to the voice of the Good Shepherd. By doing so, we know Christ is with us. He is walking with us, whether through the verdant pasture or the dark valley. If we follow him, we listen to his voice, we stay together in this flock we call our church, then God willing, as we hear in our passage from Revelation, one day it's all fulfilled in heaven. We stand around the altar of the Lord with all the angels and saints. How beautiful! That's what Christ offers us, he who is the good shepherd. But we need shepherds. And so today, we think of Mother's Day. And dads, you can wait till June for your turn, but today is Mother's Day. The word good in Greek in the original text is kalos, which means more than good, it means model. So our Lord's the model for all of us to be like a shepherd. But mothers have a special duty to be shepherds for their children. When we think about motherhood, what a beautiful gift it is. It's really quite a miraculous gift to think that a mother will have a child grow in her womb, and then she gives birth to the child. Now, granted, you need a dad too, but still, we get the idea here, that mothers have this miraculous birth to give a child this unique, precious gift from God. Many doctors have told me that the reason why babies are so attached to a mom is not simply because mom provides the food, but also because they've been listening to the mom's voice ever since they were in utero. They've been hearing that voice, and they know that's the voice of the shepherd who's going to take care of me. And a good mom does those things. We think of all the good acts that a mother does, whether it is the proper nourishment, the shelter, and so on. I can truly say, now that my mom was almost 93 years old, thank God I still have her, my brother and I would have to say, we had the best mother we could have asked for. Doesn't mean she was a saint, but the best mother that we could have asked for. Because my mom truly did become that heart of the home. Yes, the father was the head, like the Saint Joseph, but mom was the heart. She made the home that loving place. Yes, she did many different things with us, but especially I think she's the one who taught us our prayers. She's the one that made sure that we all went to church on Sundays, no matter where we were, vacation, whatever. She's the one who helped teach us our faith. Yes, we went to St. Bernadette's grade school and so on, but she's the one who really helped teach our faith. I can honestly say, too, that if I ever had a question, good old mom would give a straight answer. She was always there. Sometimes the answer may not have been what I wanted to hear, but she gave the right answer. I can also say, looking back all these years, you can still hear her voice, that little voice that says, busy hands are happy hands. Do your best. Don't be wasteful. I have eyes in the back of my head. I know what you're doing. That's a sin. God is watching. And then the good dialogue is, why can't I do this? Because I said so. Well, why? Because Y comes before Z. I can hear it all the time. But nevertheless, the importance is I knew she loved us and she had the best interests of heart for us. When I think of this too, that she never stopped being mom. Mom is mother. Even now that I'm 62 years old, been ordained 35 years, she's still telling me, this is what you should do, this is what you should say, and things like this. But thank God, motherhood is such a special gift. So you moms have to remember, God's given you a very beautiful, special vocation and has entrusted to you the lives and the souls of your children. Don't be seduced, then, by the voices of society that say, make something else a priority. No, the priority is God, and then it's the spouse, the husband, and then it's the children, and everything else can flow from there. Because all the voices that say, make something else the priority, offers a reward of this world that will pass, will be left in the grave. But if we keep the priorities in order, then the reward is heaven. The other thing, too, is mothers, be on guard. Since you have to be that good shepherd, that heart of the home, don't let the subtle influences invade the flock, especially through all the technology we have in our world today. Granted, we have it. It can be used for such good, but it can also be used for great evil if we allow it. Think of smartphones. Have you ever been to a restaurant and seen a family there that should be enjoying a meal, and they're all on this smartphone, going through all the little emails and things like this and the text messages and so on, or driving along in a car, and they're all doing, even the person driving, and so on. Well, it's interesting, on WJLA Channel 7 News, they had a little special, challenge, and it was called the Smartphone Detox Challenge. So two families volunteered, actually the moms volunteered them, to put away their smartphones for a weekend. So the kids, the parents, no smartphone for a weekend. Oh, it was a real adjustment. But as they reported, it showed the family doing things together, like games, or the kids reading a book, or playing a musical instrument, or the family cooking a meal together and actually talking together at dinner. After the detox challenge was over, they interviewed some of the kids, and the teenagers said it was a lot of fun cooking a meal together as a family and enjoying it. Imagine that. Or doing things with each other. And one teenager said, with a straight face, we had to talk to our parents. Well, isn't that good, though? Because whose voice do you want them to hear? You want them to hear a voice of love that's really going to lay down one's life for the good of another. That's your voice that your children have to hear, not the voice of the cell phone. So think, how can you deal with the technology of the age, but make sure your home is that sanctuary where the voice of God, the voice of Jesus the Good Shepherd, is loud and clear. I think of our Blessed Mother on this day, the mother of all of us. Here, she was in love with God before she ever conceived our dear Blessed Lord. She heard His Word. She heard the Word of God. When the angel Gabriel announced to her that she had been chosen, she said yes. Even Cousin Elizabeth said, blessed are you who received God's word and took it to heart. She knew God's voice. And then she did all those good motherly things, like any mom, not only for St. Joseph and Jesus, but we think how that extended to others in the neighborhood. But then, as our Lord grew up, He's ready to start His ministry, He knew that voice of love. When the wedding feast of Cana came, and our Lord wasn't really ready to start the public ministry, Mary presented the problem. And He did that miracle because He heard that voice of love and He responded in love. And when He was on that cross, Mary stood there. Think how her heart was breaking. I think like any mom, she would have rather have been on that cross than see her son. But she knew this was somehow God's loving plan of salvation. Our Lord, though in love, looked down, and He said to her and to St. John, Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. So He gave her to be cared for St. John, but also gave her as our mother. And so we should look upon her and realize she wants to lead us to Christ. She wants to make Christ better known to us. Moms, look to the example of our Blessed Mother. Now, with all of that said, I know that some people here may not have had the mom they wish they could have had. Or maybe they really didn't have a mom. Be thankful for the mothers that you've had. Could be a godmother, grandmother, could be an adopted mother, whoever it may be. Be thankful for the moms who cared for you and cherished you. Also, take Mary as your mom, just as did St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Catherine Labouré, Pope St. John Paul II, all of whom lost their moms as a young child. And so, my brothers and sisters, we celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday. We're thankful for our Savior, the Good Shepherd. We should be thankful for our church because we're together as that faithful flock. But let us pray and honor our moms this day. And with that, I ask all mothers to please stand for the special Mother's Day blessing.